Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini.
The death of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer on May 25th has sparked outrage all over the country. It has brought a wide range of emotions, including fear, anger, and hatred. Responses to this crisis have ranged from calls for justice to violence and looting. How should we as Christians respond to this tragedy? Today, we will examine God's word from Acts 10 to find His answers.
Probably my two favorite candies are Snickers and M&M's, really almost anything chocolate, but we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Ever since the tragic death of George Floyd on May 25th, our country has been in turmoil. It's aroused so many emotions, fear and anger and unrest. It's just created such a challenging time in our country again, unfortunately, again. And our hearts go out so much to his family and friends and loved ones. Our hearts go out to people of color who this is just another reminder of mistreatment and fear and things like that. Our hearts go out also to the law enforcement officers, black and white, that do their jobs with truth and integrity and even-handedness and get lumped in with those that misuse their authority. So it's just been a crazy time and is a crazy time, as you know. And of course, we've seen a lot of reactions. We've seen peaceful protest. We have also seen some violence and looting that has come about. It's been across the spectrum, right? And the question for us is, how should Christians respond to this George Floyd tragedy? I want to say at the beginning, I have a modest goal today. My goal is not to address the issue as far as here's how we're going to completely solve society. It would be unwise to think that we could do that in 30 minutes. So my more modest goal is for us to look together at God's word to find out what God has to say about issues related to this, and specifically for Christians. So we're going to look today at Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at the entire chapter, but two of the verses that are at the core of what we're going to look at today are verse 34 and 35. There's a dialogue here with Peter and some others, and I'll give you more of the context in a few minutes. But verse 34, Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Well, let me talk about this story. Let's walk through what is happening here. Here's some of the key movements. First of all, a man named Cornelius has a vision. Cornelius is a Roman centurion, and Cornelius is a Gentile. The world of the first century was divided into Jews and Gentiles, and there was great tension between the two of them. There was prejudice and hatred between those two groups. Cornelius is a Roman centurion, but he's not a Christian at this stage, but he is a respecter of God. He fears God. He prays. He gives away money to do good things with it. And one day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Cornelius has a vision. God sends him a vision and says, "Cornelius, I want you to go and find, I want you to find Simon called Peter. He's staying at another Simon's house, Simon the Tanner, and you go call him." So that's what happens in the first eight verses of Acts chapter 10. Well, actually, Peter has a vision himself. The next day, Cornelius has decided to send people. He's definitely sent people to find Peter, and they're at on their way to Peter's house. Well, it is noon. Peter goes up on the roof to pray, which was normal. The roofs were flat. And while he's up there, he gets hungry. He's waiting for food to get prepared, and he falls into a trance. And he sees this vision with all kind of animals in the vision. Peter is a Jewish apostle. He is the one, when Jesus spoke to him, he said, Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. In other words, Peter is going to be God's instrument to open the door of the gospel to different groups. In Acts chapter 2, he opened the door to the Jews as he preached on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 8, he opened the door to the Samaritans. And now God is going to use him in Acts chapter 10 to open the door to the Gentiles. So Peter sees this vision. And the problem is, you know, there were dietary laws in the Old Testament. There were things that you were not supposed to eat if you were Jewish. There were animals that were unclean and animals that were clean. Ritual cleanliness was very important for the devout Jew. And now Peter sees some of these animals that are unclean. And he hears a voice that says, hey, Peter, get up and eat that. What? Are you kidding me? Peter says, surely not, Lord. Now, usually those things don't go very well together when we not and Lord, no Lord, or surely not Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. And that same voice comes to him and says, well, don't call unclean what God has made clean. And it happens three times. And then the sheep goes back to heaven. Now, this story is not just about eating different foods. It's not about just changing Peter's diet. It's about much, much more. God is going to come into Peter's heart and mind and show him about people that he has been staying away from and rejecting. He wants to change his heart towards people who were not like him. God was about to smash some barriers that had existed for a long, long time between Jew and Gentile. And he planned to use Peter to be one of the first or early adopters, one of the smashers. Well, the next thing that happens is, so Peter is up there and they say, hey, Peter, there's some men down here want to talk to you. He goes down, he talks to them, and they explain they're from Cornelius. Would you come to Cornelius's house? What a crazy request in that culture, because Jews did not go into Gentiles' homes, but Peter goes. And that's what we see in the third movement. Peter goes to Cornelius's house. It seems simple, but think about it. He had to overcome prejudice, the past, tradition, fear. You know, again, the Jews had boundaries, and boundaries are good, but their election had turned to favoritism. And the Jews often hated the Gentiles. And they developed some things that were extra biblical, beyond what the Bible had to say, to keep Jews and Gentiles separate. So an Orthodox Jew would not go into a Gentile's home, nor would he invite him into his. But Peter goes, and Cornelius is expecting him. And when he gets there, when Peter gets there, Cornelius calls everybody, his friends, his relatives. Peter walks in. Cornelius greets him. The first thing he does is he kind of bows down before him. And Peter says, whoa, 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 no, stand up. I'm just a man. I don't want you to bow down to me. A lot is made of Peter's putting aside his racism here, and rightfully so. But Cornelius, as a Gentile, as a Roman centurion, he also had to get over some prejudice in this encounter. I mean, he could have thought something like, here, I'm a Roman centurion. I have this high position, and this is just a peasant fisherman and preacher. Of course, he would come when I beckon him. No, but he didn't have that attitude. He had a humble attitude, even bowing down to Peter. Peter wouldn't do that. And so Peter starts talking to them, and he goes inside, and he finds a large group of people. And he said, you guys know it's against our Jewish laws to associate with a Gentile or to visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Movement is happening. Peter's heart and actions are changing. And so the fourth movement of the story is that God grants salvation to the Gentiles. Wow. Look at verse 34 and 35 again. Peter starts to speak to this crowd that's assembled, and he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. A person's acceptance with God does not depend on nationality, but on the right condition of their heart. Now, when we read a verse like this, we need to make sure that we don't wrest it out of its context and assert that nothing else is needed for salvation. There's more to it than that. But the point here is that if the heart attitude is right and the gospel is preached, everyone can be saved regardless of race or religion. And so what Peter is going to do here, he's after making this opening statement about God's not showing any favoritism, he is going to preach the basics of the gospel. In verse 38, the life of Christ. In verse 39, Christ's death. Verse 40 and 41, his resurrection. Verse 42, his return as judge. And then verse 43, his offer of salvation. So let's read these verses in which Peter proclaims the good news. Verse 36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Notice how Peter's horizons are now expanding. Jesus is not just the Lord and Christ of the Jew, but he's Lord of all. For years, his perception of God was too small. Verse 37, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. This was the gospel. Peter was preaching the gospel of Jesus. He was preaching the good news about who he was and how he died for us, and through him you can be forgiven and receive forgiveness of sins. And I said at the outset that I'm asking the question today, how should Christians respond to the George Floyd tragedy? And we're going to, as we start wrapping this up in a few minutes, I'm going to show you how what we learn about God really helps us in how we think and act. But I said it's for Christians, and yet some of you might not be a Christian yet. You might just have this kind of general belief in Jesus. And I would encourage you to hear and embrace this message today about Jesus. In fact, do more than hear and embrace the message. Hear and embrace Jesus himself. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to forgive you of your sin and that separation between you and God. He wants to bridge that gap. And if you'll repent of your sin, that is to change your mind about it and turn to God in faith, putting your trust in Jesus, you can experience that forgiveness of sins as well. Today's a great day to start receiving and believing in Christ alone. And so we see here in verse 44, while Peter's talking to them, now the Holy Spirit comes on them. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter That was the Jewish ones, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Now, people, this passage shows us that people come to God because the Holy Spirit draws them to Christ. It's not because of our efforts. It's not because of our prayers or our persuasion. God wants us to pray and present the gospel to people, and he allows us to be a part of the process. But what makes it happen is the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and that is what's happening here in Acts chapter 10. Now, we don't have time to deal with this a whole lot, but it's interesting that here these Gentiles start speaking in other languages. And so what's going on with that? Does that mean that everybody today should be speaking in some kind of tongue or something like that? You know, actually, in the book of Acts, there are four occasions in which people speak in tongues. And the thing about it is this was the first time the Holy Spirit was coming to indwell in different groups of people. And that was an evidence in the first century. That was a sign that God was really doing that. The Holy Spirit has always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three equal. And God, the Holy Spirit had a ministry in the Old Testament, but it wasn't until the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached to the Jews there, that the Holy Spirit came to indwell, and he first indwelt Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. That's Acts 2. In Acts 8, the Samaritans received the gospel, and they, being a new group to receive it, they spoke in languages. In Acts 10, now we come, and it's the Gentiles receiving the gospel for the first time, and they speak in languages. It doesn't happen all the time, even in Acts. Sometimes we have this idea that it happens all the time. It didn't happen all the time. It was when specific people came for the first time, specific groups of people. So that's why we might call this kind of the Gentile Pentecost. Well, what are our lessons from this? This amazing story about Peter being on his roof, seeing a vision, going to Cornelius' house. He preaches the gospel. They become believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes on them. They get baptized. I mean, it's a great story, right? What can we learn today? What are the timeless principles? There are three. And the first one is this. Know that God shows no favoritism. If we live in a world where people play favorites and show favoritism and treat some people one way and other people another way, God does not show any favoritism. Our favoritism often is based on race or sex or socioeconomic status. But that's not God's view. God created us all in his image, all human beings. I told you one of my favorite candies is M&M's. And, you know, I'm kind of hungry right now, but I'm going to try not to eat them. But when I open this bag of M&M's, and I pull them out, I see all kind of colors, right? Can you see these? Red and yellow, black, blue, green, orange, all kind. And if I were to eat them, essentially they look different on the outside. But if I were to eat the blue one and the yellow one, they're going to taste the same. They're the same on the inside. They're the same in their essence. I think that's the way human beings are. We're the same in our essence, created in God's image. We just look a little different on the outside from each other. Well, regrettably, I'm going to put these down and not eat them right at this moment, but hopefully I'll be back to them soon. Kent Hughes powerfully says, in Christ, there is no basis for discrimination of any kind. Prejudice or elitism on the lips of a believer is an obscenity, whether it be racial, national, cultural, or social. That's the first lesson. The second one is humble yourselves to cross barriers. Peter to go do what he did. I mean, it's great. Yeah, people got saved and the Holy Spirit came and they were baptized. What a wonderful thing. But as a Jewish, an Orthodox Jew, Peter really had to humble himself. Jesus is a great model of someone who humbled himself, Philippians 2. Though he was equal with God, he didn't consider his existence, this existing in a manner equal with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself and he submitted himself to God the Father. He came to this earth. He became a servant. He took on the form of a servant and he went all the way to the point of death. What an amazing humility. James chapter 4 says, God gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You know, today, if you're a white person in our culture, it may take some humility to sit down with some people of color and say, I want to listen to you. I want to hear you. What can I do to help you? You know, if you're a person of color, it might take some humility to not stereotype all white people and to believe the best about your brothers and sisters. So black, white, brown, whatever our skin tone is, we all need humility with each other, certainly. And we see that. Peter was humble, but Cornelius was humble too to receive Peter in. So we see humility all over this. And then the third lesson is this. Love people and share the gospel with him. Love people and share the gospel with them. You know, right now my heart aches for justice for the oppressed. This is going to be one of the beauties of heaven. There'll be no oppression. Everything will be made right. But until we get there, we live in a world where there's not justice. Often, and where God wants Christians to be salt and light and to make an impact on our community. However, and this is very, very important. Having said all that, I believe that. I believe Christians should be salt and light, and it's encouraging to see Christians stepping up to the plate. But what if you gave all your time and energy and you worked tirelessly to bring social justice to this world? And what if you actually saw it make a difference in the world and people treated each other better and got along better? Would that be enough? Is that our highest ambition as followers of Jesus Christ? What if people treat each other better, but they still don't know Jesus Christ personally and they die and spend an eternity separated from God in hell? Would we have accomplished the best, most lasting thing? And I think the answer to that is obvious. Now, of course, people generally need to feel love and see our love before they're open to the message about Christ. That appears that in many, many ways. If you think often in an environment, let's say people, you're serving a community where they're malnourished. They don't have enough food to eat. You wouldn't just stroll in and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Don't you want to be saved? You'd be wise to feed their physical bodies first. And then to say out of that context, I'm doing this because I serve a God of love and the God that loves you and cares for you. And he cares for your physical body, but he also cares for your eternal soul. Can I tell you about him? And similarly, people who have felt the sting of injustice don't need just platitudes or words without actions. But they do need the gospel of Jesus. It is their only hope for eternity. And so, while we might make gains in how people treat each other by appealing to human dignity and equality, fundamentally, how we treat people is a matter of the heart. It is what is in here that drives our actions. I remember when I was a teenager, I heard a black preacher address a mostly white audience, and he said, you know, if you're walking down the street and it's late at night, you're walking down a dark alley and you hear a man that you don't know start walking up behind you, you are a lot more concerned about the condition of his heart than the color of his skin. And that's true. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. We want to see people's hearts changed. We want our hearts to be changed. We want everybody's hearts to be changed. This little four-liner, some draw a circle that shuts men out. Race and position are what they flout. But Christ in love seeks them all to win. He draws a circle that takes them in. Now, you probably haven't seen a vision with a sheet full of clean and unclean animals like Peter did. But you, if you're a believer in Christ, you have heard God's word to you from Matthew chapter 28. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the end of the age. You have heard God's call to you to make disciples. And what about investing in people of a different race or different socioeconomic status, maybe a different sexual orientation? What about people who've made bad choices? Will you cross barriers to reach those people? Are you willing to obey God like Peter did and go to people that are, quote, outsiders or feel like outsiders to you? Are you willing to overcome prejudice? Are you willing to overcome indifference and busyness long enough to see people in need? Are you willing to overcome your own personal reasons or excuses for not reaching out? Are you willing to pray diligently for the Holy Spirit to work? Are you willing to obey whatever prompting God gives you? How should Christians respond to the George Floyd tragedy? Well, there are many ways that are appropriate, no doubt. But what God is telling us from this passage today in His Word is because God shows no favoritism, we must cross barriers to share the gospel. Peter didn't cross the Jew-Gentile barrier just so he and Cornelius could get along better, or for the sake of Cornelius' children not being mistreated. No, there was something so much more important, and that was the good news of Jesus Christ. It was the gospel. Cornelius needed it. His family needed it. His children needed it. His friends needed it. And Peter needed to cross the barriers so that they could hear that wonderful message. They were saved. And in doing so, they were also united with their Jewish brothers whom they had been forever divided from. So here's another reason to share the gospel with people. Salvation through and in Jesus Christ unites people like nothing else will. No amount of human persuasion or desire can ever unite us like Christians are united to each other. And that's black, brown, yellow, white. I mean, it's amazing. In fact, Galatians, Paul said, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In the autobiography of Mahatma Gandhi, he shares that during his student days in England, he was moved. He read the Gospels and he was moved by them, and he seriously considered converting to Christianity because he saw India's caste system as being very damaging. And he thought, well, maybe Christianity would provide the answer to this caste system with all of its built-in prejudices. So one Sunday, he attends a church service. He's thinking, maybe the minister can enlighten me on salvation and other Christian doctrines. But when he enters the sanctuary, the ushers refuse to seat him. And they say, maybe you should go somewhere else and worship with your own people. Wow. And unfortunately, he never came back. He said to himself, if Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu. I'm here to tell you that God is different than that. God created all human beings in His image. And He tells us a great word this morning, because God shows no favoritism, We must cross barriers to share the gospel. Well, let me pray. Lord, oh Jesus, you crossed barriers for us. And I pray that in these turbulent times, we will be people that cross barriers to love others and share your gospel with them. And you will unite people in Christ. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, obviously you're watching this online. And if you're watching it ahead of time, before Sunday, June 7th, I just want to remind you that we will have two in-person services. They'll be outdoors under and around our picnic shelter, one at 8:30 and one at 10. And, of course, we'll do a virtual service. And, of course, in that virtual service, we will be using these discussion questions. And we'll try to use them in the live services as well. And as for me, between now and then, I've got some M&Ms to take care of.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.